CoinWorld Plus is your new way to collect, manage your inventory, digitally authenticate coins, create your want list, buy and sell coins, and much more. Learn more about CoinWorld Plus at coinworldplus.com or download the app now at Google Play or the App Store.
Welcome to the CoinWorld Podcast with your host, Jeff Stark.
And as I've said from day one of this show, this is a big tent hobby. There's a lot of room for folks.
And Larry Jewett.
And learning has been such a tremendous amount of this journey.
The CoinWorld Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the CoinWorld Podcast. I'm Jeff Stark.
And I'm Larry Jewett, welcoming you into this podcast as well. And we do appreciate the fact that you're here with us once again for the update on what's been going on in the numismatic front. There's a lot of that. Of course, a lot of we capture on the pages of CoinWorld, which comes out weekly. Plus, we do have our monthly edition and our recently added Friends edition, just expanded for the July issue. Hopefully, you've had a chance to enjoy that. So we do appreciate all the support on all CoinWorld. Thanks once again for being a loyal listener. We recently celebrated our 200th episode milestone about six episodes ago. And now we found out that we have hit a upload or a download milestone, if you will, that 250,000 downloads is what I recall that being. So that to us is pretty significant. And thank you for wouldn't be possible without your continued support and loyal listenership. So thanks very much for all that you've done to help make the CoinWorld Podcast what it is here today.
Oh, absolutely. I will echo those comments. And I will say, I don't think that counts, that milestone can track. Like, I listened to an episode through Apple earlier this week or last week to try to refresh my memory on something. I don't know that that tracks that since it wasn't a download. So we know that I think that number is even larger in a sense of folks that are hearing it. And we appreciate anybody who has taken the time to let us into your homes or vehicles or however you choose to listen. And, you know, we thank all the sponsors that have been here week in, week out. This is and truthfully, even just from a corporate or inside baseball standpoint, just to have the support of the rest of the team at CoinWorld and Amos Media, because, you know, we don't have to do this. We don't, this is something we get to do. And we're thrilled to be able to do that every week. This episode, we're going to get to really just kind of catch up and have a shooting the breeze type situation. I know, Larry, I want to hear about your time at Collectorama down in Florida. What maybe you encountered, who you met, what things you added. There's some interesting news going on, and it's a good, I guess, good springboard for asking what if with that ongoing saga of was it like a million Lincoln cents? So out in California, I want to say. So there's lots of cool stuff. Tell me about Collectorama though.
Yeah, and one of the things I do want to say is one of the things we didn't get to do, and that's part of the reason why we were tracking down some guests that were unavailable this week, is the fact that summer seminar, the ANA summer seminar, which from all early reports from those who attended ANA summer seminar, once again, fantastic program. And now you got 51 weeks to kind of figure out how you're going to get back out there to enjoy that. And we'll have a few guests coming up who will be telling us about their experiences out at the ANA summer seminar, which once again, from the early take on that, very positive reviews. Very positive reviews coming out of the Collectorama show that Brian Kuzmar put together for the Lakeland RP Funding Center. And this happens several times a year, but it has established itself as a reputation for having some of the good security, some good traffic here. And it appeared to be, on first glance, it appeared to be down a few booths. So it didn't go until the last day. So that's always a tough indication sometimes. But every dealer I talked to and all the social media chat I saw was that it was a very good show. And it's all about quality, not quantity here, because the people who were there certainly were doing business. They were doing enough business to justify their being there. And that gives an idea that even though we've got great events coming up, like the Florida United Numismatist Show coming up in July, we've got the ANA's World's Fair Money coming up in August up in Pittsburgh. But sometimes it's these local shows that really help the cause, because people don't have the opportunity to travel. It's the weekend is off for them. They've worked their 9 to 5 or whatever the case may be. They want to relax and enjoy talking coins, bring their coins by, get some new acquisitions, that type of thing. These definitely serve the purpose. They fly under the radar as far as the headlines go and all that type of stuff. But these shows like this, really interesting. And they have, you know, occasional prize drawings, which we didn't win this year. And got a chance to see, surprised to see, Robert Calderman was there. He's from the Society of Paper Money Collectors, and he usually has a booth there. But he had other plans, but he was in town for another obligation, so to speak. So he was there walking the floor, had some great time speaking with Mark and Melody Singer. Mark Singer, of course, the Southern Florida dealer. And my father-in-law made a few purchases, as he's now pursuing Indian Head Cents and Liberty Nickels. So he's made some purchases there. We made some purchases. My wife got some material that she's looking for both her coin collection and for her currency collection. So Colonel Howard was always good to us over there, and met him a few years ago over at Coinacopia. Always good to revisit with him. And he had, of course, had a seminar on the October or on the January fun show, which was a very entertaining and very informative. So it's always great. It's all about the reconnections, and made some purchases of some supplies that we needed as well. So it was a very good day, spent some good time, and everybody seemed upbeat about the entire thing. So it was great. Brian did a great job getting it ready to go and making it happen. And we look forward to going back later this year to the next time Collectorama comes back to Lakeland.
Well, I'm jealous, because I was all teed up to go to a one-day show here in St. Louis, and I had my car decided to the brake line went out, and that had to be fixed, and the shop, it happened on a Thursday after work, went to go pick up a order I made online and for pickup, and I got out of the store, and I luckily was able to get the mile and a half home without incident, but took it to a shop right by my house, and the earliest they could get to it was Saturday afternoon. So by the time I got the car back, the show was over. And I joked with my dad that, well, at least, you know, I guess I saved some money not going to the show and buying stuff. But, you know, as it turns out, I think I would have much rather spent the money on the coins and had something to show for it in the end, rather than, I mean, yes, okay, you know, you got to have the car and it's fixed and all that. But boy, it turned into quite an ordeal with extra things needed to be fixed and all that with the brakes. And so it turned into a very costly day, but not the fun kind of costly day that I was hoping for.
That's when life gets in the way of the hobbies that you have here. But I also recently took some time to sit down and look at some of the smaller online auctions that are out there to try to expand upon the collection of the birth year world coins, and found that there was a company out of North Carolina that had a couple of coins that I didn't have in my collection. So I put in a couple of bids, very small purchases, as a matter of fact. But in the process, as I mentioned, father-in-law started a renewed collection there. We were able to secure 5 out of the 6 that we bid on Monday night. So those are in transit right now. And it was a good positive thing there. I've got and I don't want to drive up the price on this one, but I've got a decent bid on a national bank note of my birthplace. And right now it's still got another couple of weeks on auction. So it'll be interesting to see what that does as it gets closer to the deadline. Is a lot of times we've got snipers out there that are waiting to drive the price up. And as we kept going we ended up driving up the price on a couple of things as well, inadvertently, but we just tried to have it and somebody else ended up paying for us not being able to have it, is what it comes down to. So that was kind of fun too, kind of a fun experience, and teaching somebody who's not necessarily as ingrained in it as I am because of the fact that I deal with this every day. But for many, it's just a hobby, a pastime that fills a little bit of time, and we're all quite busy and we don't have a lot of time these days, it seems. But just the idea that knowing what's out there and knowing what to do, do your due diligence, read the books, you know, do the homework that you need to do to make sure that you make some wise purchases in your program. If you're looking for the highest graded, if you're looking for whatever, just a specimen to upgrade later. Well, whatever the case may be, materials out there.
I can't complain too much. I went to a local shop here recently and picked up another 4 ounces of Libertads and 3 Libertads and a Kookaburra from 1991. The fun thing about the Kookaburra is early on in that program, the coin was denominated $5 and they changed it to $1 at some point, I think, because the value of silver, you know, in the early mid 90s was so high relative to the face value. So they wanted to provide some cushion for that. They didn't want to get into a situation where the face value was worth more than the metal value, because then you could turn it in and they would lose money. But and I love the this little mini group of Libertads, because there was a design change partway through the program, and there's also a shape change, or size change. So the or at least it looks that way, that once they got the newer design with the back with all the eagles, multiple like shields instead of the large eagle, it looks to be slightly larger. Maybe it's the same size. Anyway, that there's no shortage of fun to be had one way or the other. I've had a lot of fun thinking about that hoard of cents out in the West Coast. It's been a very, very popular story at CoinWorld.com. I want to say it's been the most read, well-trafficked article in recent weeks. And I can't help but wonder, with almost a million cents, what kind of goodies are in there, and also what kind of effort it would take to go through all those and look at everything. My mind goes to, okay, first off, how many wheat cents are in there? This was put together over quite a long time. You would want to sort out the wheat cents, but then I think you got to sort out the pre-82 copper cents as well. I haven't seen, it seems like 10 years ago, that was a much bigger, much more robust or active market segment than it is today. But the way, you know, we know from recent reporting that the cost to make a new cent is more than a cent. It's a couple cents each, I think. And the copper value alone of those pre-82 cents is, I want to say, something like almost 3 cents. So I don't know. Is anyone out there seeing that, seeing a lot of activity for that segment? I remember it seems like there were several websites, and you could go on eBay, and there was just a lot of talk about those being really traded and in demand from people who wanted to stockpile copper because of the value proposition there. It just seems like things have quieted down more recently. Maybe I'm just out of touch with that segment. I wonder if anyone out there has any comments. Sure, shoot us an email and let us know.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, right now, just checking, it is the number 2 story, as it is running second to the other hoard that we had the news on, and that being the gold coins that were found in Kentucky. As those two remain, even though maybe a couple of weeks, they are still running strong as far as the interest goes. for the on the coinworld.com website that we have, and trying to keep you updated on all the things that are happening out there. Got an email yesterday, and this is probably not going to be on the pages of the Coin World. It may end up in there. Got an email from our listener and friend Derek Higgins, as he was successful in his campaign to join the board of governors of the Society of Paper Money Collectors. And so congratulations, Derek. Job well done. Look forward to seeing you in Pittsburgh. I guess they're going to, you know, new man on the totem pole here, going to make him work really hard at the ANA's World's Fair of Money. So he and Jessica will be there, so it'll be great to see them again. But congratulations are in order for that. It's always great to have the young and enthusiastic collectors getting more involved with the organizations, and definitely do appreciate that. But I think the time has come now to take a step back from what's been going on here and find out what's been going on in history, because we're rapidly approaching our American Independence Day, which is a very special time for us here in this country, and often celebrated numismatically. I mean, I was fortunate enough a year ago to write the story about the coins bearing the American flag for the July issue. So, but I think Independence Day on our minds a lot here. And of course, we'll be approaching that subject at another time. But right now, let's talk about dates in history as we look back on this week in numismatics.
You would make the mention to American numismatics when I have picked out a this week in numismatic history that is not American. So, you know, I love looking back in the history books and seeing what was going on. I mean, I guess if I need to, I can pick something American. But I thought it was fun to see that on July 1st, 1858, what happened that day? Well, that was the day that the first Canadian coins were struck in England. I believe these were, I know there was the 1858 1 cent coin. That's like a key date of the large cent series. That was 1858 to 1920, I believe, for the large Canadian cents. There were also some, I want to say, quarters, 25 cent pieces, and 5 cent and 10 cent. I'm not totally clear on if all of those coins were struck that first year. Like I said, you know, the 1 cent coin was made then. But it's interesting to think about, okay, Canada was not yet a fully formed country. That would come in 1867, a scant 9 years later. But their first mint, first national mint, would not open in Ottawa until 1908. So for 50 years, they had to rely on the mint in the home country, if you will, the mother mint, the motherland, perhaps, in the United Kingdom, because they didn't have the capacity until what turns out to be 50 years later to make their own coins. And then that Ottawa mint celebrated a centennial, almost 15 years ago now. Yeah. So there's the Ottawa mint was famously made the great rarities, the 1911 silver dollar, the 1921 50 cent and 25 cent coins, the emperor and king, I think, or king and prince of Canadian numismatics. So there's a lot of history there, but that didn't develop until much later. So I also found interesting, also on that day, July 1st, just as a local aside, in 1881, the St. Louis Assay Office opened. And now I have to go dig into local history, and I want to find out where that was and how long that was around, and what is there now. That's one of the great things about, you know, there's intersections to the hobby wherever you look. And so that was kind of cool for me to see as well. Just, you know, happenstance, digging into the archives and seeing what was happening this week in numismatic history.
Well, you sent me over to my book to find out, because I knew I had an older Canadian cent, and mine's from 1859. So I just missed on that one. But my oldest coin that I have in the world collection over here is 1851 Germany. And then I've got a few others from the 1850s. And then we get into the 1860s. But I remembered having that Canadian cent. I believed it was 1859. And sure enough, that's what it is. It's, you know, 1859. So I was close, but, you know, just glad to have that in my collection. Kind of, you know, that spent some time after Collectorama looking at what was there and what was missing and what was needed, and going to put an order in for 5 more coins for my birth year collection that I'm going to pick up at Fun. So, you know, just the idea that historically what we're looking at is always interesting. I'm glad you were able to put something domestic in there. Didn't mean to put you into a tough spot, because even if I'm talking about American stuff, it's wide open for you to talk about the entire world, because we all need to remember that there's a lot going on, especially historically, in what's happening. But we're going to really dip back here now. It's actually more than 60 years, because we celebrated in 2020. We celebrated Coin World 60th anniversary, but now we're 60 plus. And, you know, we go back a little bit in time. We've been spending a lot of time in the 80s, 90s, 2000s in our look back in Coin World history. So it was time to go back a little farther here. And the year to pick this time, 1962. Now, silver coins were running around in 1962, but what was happening in Coin World in 1962?
You were but a wee lad. But so we look at the June 29th, 1962 issue. That was just random number generator, no relevance to any, you know, it wasn't picked for any reason other than randomness. I as somebody, I'm glad you honor and respect and see the value of world stuff, world numismatics, in our discussion, because I love to see the main story, the top story on the front page of Coin World then was about Korea changes currency July 10 deadline for yuan, the new yuan worth 10 times the old yuan. And the article mentions that the revolutionary military government of South Korea has issued a new legal currency, the yuan, worth 10 of the old yuan. That's H-W-A-N. The change was effective June 10. The old money from 100 yuan and above cannot be used. 50 yuan and under will continue in use until July 10. The sweeping change affects both coins and paper money. Came about 2 weeks after the issuance of a new note, 100 yuan note. And it goes on and on to explain all the different details of the designs and how things, you know, there was a printing error on the 100 yuan note and so on and so forth. So I just love to see world numismatics getting their due, especially in the front pages, no less, of Coin World. That story was above the story about the Red Book going on sale on July 2nd. Now, what's funny is this is the July 2nd will be our day across the nation. I've never heard of the day that the Red Book goes on sale being listed as our day. But anyway, the Red Book was at that time, this was the 16th edition. So already 16 years in, you know, the Red Book was a force with which to be reckoned. And the publication day of the new edition was so important to the hobby that it's on the front page of Coin World. Now there are, of course, so many outlets competing for attention and offering pricing analysis, as you noted, the Coin World Trends. You know, recent return or debut, however you want to look at it, that's certainly one of those products out there offering price, data, and analysis. You know, there's websites and apps and other things, but back then there was the Red Book, and you know, Coin World had its weekly trends, and you know, that was, I don't want to say about it, but it was the landscape looked much differently. So anyway, the debut of the 16th edition of the Red Book was also big news in the issue. That's what jumped out to me. That's what I really love to see. What about you?
On the Letters page, there were a lot of thank you for coverage of the small shows. Thank you for this and that type of thing. Not a lot of, I mean, it was definitely reflective of a different time. But there was one letter, the final letter, that talked about the editorial that was written in a previous publication. It goes like this: liked your editorial very much in regards to the letter by R.L. Rogers of Chicago on the publication of Coin World. For 2 months, I have been receiving and enjoying Coin World. I have noticed that many people would like to see changes made in it. And it says that many people would like to see changes like changing the size, the frequency of the publication, omitting some of the ads, etc. This letter is my vote to leave the paper as it is, with natural changes taking place as they come. With the huge ads on metals, this surely must indicate quite a lot of interest in that part of numismatics. Surely the ads of metals don't cost any less than an equal size ad in the paper for anything else. Of course, there are parts of this paper that don't interest me, but I skip over them exactly as I skip over the women's section of my local daily newspaper. From the letters that I have seen in recent issues, it appears that some of these people want the paper published especially just for them, and realizing that about 95,000 people buy the paper, making it impossible to satisfy every want of every individual reader. But I believe you come very close, covering all phases of numismatic news. You mentioned, like, of course, the world news being ahead of some of the local news. Your special editions are a great help to the specialized collector, like 2 editions on tokens and editions on gold coins. I do not collect gold coins. I wish I could. Tokens or medals, but I do enjoy reading about them, and there certainly was enough other information in the paper to make up for what wasn't interesting. Jim Kelly's price trend lists are very helpful, and of course, everyone doesn't agree with this either. But there are exceptions to many prices of scarcer coins. Not everyone agrees with other price lists either. I started collecting U.S. coins while still in the Navy in 1946 and continued for a few years, then was inactive 9 or 10 years and started collecting seriously about a year ago. Now I have almost all of the regular issues of U.S. cents still in circulation and have started to buy shield nickels, which I believe is a much neglected coin as far as its historical significance goes. I have most of the shields now, and while waiting on a chance to get in the rare ones of the series, have started to buy V nickels. Of the scarce coins I have found in circulation, my best find by far was a VF Double Die 1955 Lincoln cent found last June in a roll obtained from a local bank with the depositor's name still on the roll. Keep the Coin World coming. That was from Eugene Mortensen of Cambridge, Massachusetts. A lot there. And it shows a lot of the difference between now and then. Of course, this was over 2 decades before grading third-party grading took over. So it was just like there's a lot there that this letter writer, who started his collection in 1946 and picked it back up again in the early 60s, had a lot to say about this. And of course, the spelling out the challenges of trying to create a balanced publication, and because it is, as you say, my turn this time, Big Tent Hobby. So yeah, this was a good letter. I enjoyed that.
Awesome. So I think, you know, now that we've delved into the past, we need to go back to last week when I asked you a question, right? You remember?
Sure.
This is no trivial thing. Last week, we were exploring the launch of Women of Numismatics. So I wanted you to tell me, what was the first American coin to show a real live woman by name, you know, but not Liberty, not a depiction of Liberty, you know, that's in female form, but an actual person who lived at one time and was a woman, and who was that person and what was the coin. So do you remember, do you know at all? I think you do. I think you should remember this from your time now at CoinWorld, that you've encountered this in the last 3 years. I'm almost certain.
My money, lack of a better term. I mean, I think a lot about they talk about the Martha Washington on the notes, but you know, as far as I'm thinking we go back to the Susan B. Anthony. I think Susan B. Anthony was the first woman that I can think of. There may have been one that predated her. I mean, I've got 1 foot in, 1 foot out on this one, but I'm pretty sure I'm looking at Susan B. Anthony as my answer.
That's good for circulation coinage. But
wait a minute here. What was the stipulation? Yeah,
I said on an American coin.
Right. You didn't say circulating. Okay.
So you have to go back to the Queen Isabella.
Oh, from the 1890s.
Yes. Queen Isabella commemorative. Was it a quarter or half? I think a quarter. So 1893, I think it was. And, you know, there you have somebody who wasn't even an American.
That's my point. An American. I chose an American female.
I did not stipulate that this person had to be an American woman.
No, you didn't. And I'm just trying to get as many points as I can.
Okay. So, you know, it's one of those, it's a fun thing to say to somebody who doesn't, you know, who doesn't know, maybe, you know, a party trick sort of thing. So now, real quick, I'm going to ask you the question for next time. What ship appears on 2 different inaugural medals of Franklin Roosevelt? This is from the CoinWorld trivia game. I just thought it was fun. It's expert level. So, you know, you'll have a week to think about that. Yeah. So don't answer it yet. Just think about it. But let's wrap up the show and say our goodbyes now.
All right. Definitely. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you being here. We've got a lot of great shows coming your way. Happy 4th. We don't get a chance to talk to you between now and then. But in the meantime,
happy collecting.
Thank you for listening to the CoinWorld podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and we'll see you next week.
CoinWorld Plus is your new way to collect, manage your inventory, digitally authenticate coins, create your want list, buy and sell coins, and much more. Learn more about CoinWorld Plus at coinworldplus.com or download the app now at Google Play or the App Store.